Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hope you're having a great Monday. We're getting ready for the national title game tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coverage beginning at 6 as we broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Mike, we got some Falcons news before we get into our 4th-and-1 segment and talk about all the other things that are going on around the NFL. But as the secondary starts to shape out, the Falcons have made the decision to bring back a guy that we thought, Mike, they might move on from. And, again, this is why we never closed the door on some of this stuff. But they re-signed nickelback D. Alford.
Yeah, so I guess he'll compete against Clark Phillips to win back that job. Now, D at times, and I don't want to put it all on him, but one of the more embarrassing moments this year is when we lost up in Minnesota.
Ugly.
And Justin Jefferson is just basically saying, hey, I'm over here, wide open, because D. Alford is basically doing the crab walk. You know, on the 15-yard line. It was awful. So I honestly did not think we'd see him back here, but he is. So if you were happy, and I guess Raheem has got a lot of experience with the secondary, and he and Ulbrich, they went and crunched the numbers, and the price is right, so they think they can bring him back and get some more out of him. But I thought for sure D. Alford was gone and not coming back.
And Mike, to your point, like maybe this is secondary depth move, not starter move.
No, and he's something that might even make the team.
Correct.
Based on what we do in the draft or undrafted free agents, whoever comes in.
Yeah. So, but that is out there, and you hear or see this stuff. Cornerback D. Alford, do not think that has any effect on what we're going to do in the draft. Again, it doesn't. And so we'll see how this plays out, but that news just coming down. Hey, as we've been talking about the Braves, today's an off day. Yesterday, rain out. That game's been postponed until August to take on the Marlins. They'll add it in one of those series later this year, and then they get ready for the Phillies tomorrow. I think this is a big series. Look, I don't get overreactive early in the season. I covered baseball for a long time. It's just too long of a season.
Right.
But I also know, Mike, that you cannot continue to lose series in April and expect to be a contending team in August. Mm. So right now, the Phillies come in. They're in first place in the East. And one of my good friends, Rick, hit me up and he said, Dukes, we win this Philly series, everybody can calm down. Are we going to hit, Rick? That's the question.
Well, I mean, you know, as I said to Carl, it's not even Masters yet. I mean, it is Masters week, but you're 6 games back. You're going to see Philly. Now, if Philly takes 2 out of 3 from you, then we can all panic.
Okay? A little bit.
Then start to panic.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. There's a long season. You're right. And the Phillies aren't going to be world beaters all year. The Mets actually surprisingly good despite their injuries, you know, what they're dealing with. But this is one where, and again, I'm here in mid-May for Ronald Acuna. You know, he went out to flew out. We'll talk more about this with Grant, but flew out to L.A. And I guess the final go-ahead to ramp up whatever he's going to do.
The double check.
But it's like, when is Ronald Acuna going to happen? We need a jump start.
We do.
You need him to come in here and just pop, pop, pop. And you have to wait. You're telling me I got to wait 5 more weeks, you know, for this guy?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, considering where we are.
Hope I'm wrong. Hope it's sooner than later.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Yeah, it's like, let's go.
Yeah. Considering where we are. And, listen, we love Money Harris. I know Michael Money Harris, you know, who's come on the show, told us coming out of that road trip on the West Coast, calm down. Like, we're going to be all right. Then we come out Friday night. We score 10 runs. And I'm like, all right, we're going to be all right. This is great. And then I get the text and tweets yesterday, you sure we're going to be all right after losing on Saturday and getting shut out? And we don't score, we don't hit, we leave guys on base. It was very reminiscent of the Padres and Dodgers series. The difference is the Padres and Dodgers are really good. The Marlins aren't. And so when you do that against a bad team or perceived to be an average team, we are supposed to be way better than those guys on paper. It just it rings alarm bells. Like, okay, it's one thing to not hit against the Dodgers or the Padres.
Right.
To not hit and score runs against the Marlins? Come on.
Well, the Marlins always have some young – they don't always stick around, but they've got some good young arms. Max Meyer actually was the one who got roughed up in game one on Friday.
Yeah.
But
By the way, how was the crowd reaction?
Great.
The crowd
was great. No, nobody was – Chris is running. I don't know what Chris is running. That's like that Yankee fan stuff. That's it. Sir, we live in the – you live in the South, sir. I say. For those who didn't hear the show, we had a poll question. I think it was Thursday. Should you boo the Braves? No one's gonna boo the Braves. Please. You boo the umpire. Boo the other guys. You're not going to boo the Braves. You want to boo Bryce Harper. You want to boo the Phillies.
For sure.
That's one thing.
For sure.
But no, the crowd was electric. Crowd was bananas. I mean, and it was when I got in there, man, it was just bananas. Early arriving, too. Everybody getting in there at like 6:30.
Home opener.
At 7 o'clock, get in the door.
And it was an early pitch, right? 7:15? They've moved the time up?
Yeah, thereabouts, right.
Yeah, because I've heard from my folks at FanDuel, like, they moved the game times up, which I didn't realize. That's awesome that you can get to the ballpark now. We don't have to wait to 7:35 first pitch. That 20 minutes is a big deal, man. I mean,
right. Like
when you start putting in a long night and you're hanging out and you're trying to get home, that's a big deal. All right, more on the Braves coming up. That is where we currently sit. And I said, the Phillies are coming in here in first place in the East. That doesn't mean anything right now. It's just we don't want them to continue to separate. The good news is Strider did pitch on Friday night in Gwinnett and pitched really, really well. All right, let's get to 4th and 1. So his numbers say he's a Hall of Famer. He played 13 seasons, 10 of them here in the ATL, 6th overall pick. We've all debated whether or not it was the right move by Thomas Dimitroff. But I don't think there's any debate at any five-year period, during a five-year period at prime, in his peak, that
right.
Julio Jones wasn't either the best receiver and paid as such or the second best receiver at his position. I don't think we can argue that. What I will argue, Mike, did Julio make a connection with Atlanta?
No, none.
Did Julio, was he
none.
was he a part of the community in a way that we feel some kind of way about him?
No, yes, involved with a lot of Falcon players are involved in different events and things like that. I mean, charity events, nonprofit, things with amigos and all that. But that's, I don't know. I know the same amount of stuff about Julio Jones now that I did when he was playing in his prime. And that's not a bad thing. That's his prerogative. Not everybody wants to let you in, let you behind the curtain, you know. He was just very enigmatic, you know. And that's fine because, you know, there's another guy that was just like that, and that was Marvin Harrison with the Colts.
He was.
No one knew anything about Marvin Harrison, but his numbers stood on itself on merit. He's a Hall of Famer. But you don't have to be, you know, the guy like Kirk Cousins who's got a comment for everything and never saw a microphone or a camera light he would say no to. But the Julio's kind of the direct opposite. But as far as a fan, the guys – and by the way, because I know there's a lot of jock sniffers out there, don't mistake what I'm saying for being – somebody that's a dislike of Julio. Okay? I just don't – you know – if you know Julio more, then tell me. Tell me what you know about Julio more than I – no one knows anything. He had a car dealership in Alabama, I found out later.
Yeah, like year 8.
Yeah, good for him. But I don't know anything about the man.
Yeah.
Other than he hangs with amigos.
Well –
that's
and,
all I know.
Okay. And that's fine. And that's a part of our culture and certainly has been
that
a part.
That has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame.
No. And listen.
But you asked about a connection.
But I have an issue with this. This is my – it's not that Julio wasn't a great player, but I'm willing to sit here and tell you today that Roddy White is more connected to this community than Julio Jones is. That's what I'm telling you. And so as he gets the votes, and he will, and he'll go into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot, 7-time Pro Bowler, 2-time All-Pro, again – you start to look at the catches and his impact on the team and the franchise, best player in franchise history at his position. I don't think there's any question. But when you start talking about, like, that's my guy, talk to people in the streets. That's my dude. Oh, man, I'll go to bat for him. Like, I don't get that, Mike, about Julio Jones. And I'm just keeping it real with you.
We did back in the day when Julio had a contract and 2 years later demanded a raise.
Well, did the end right. harm – how
no.
we felt about it?
No, but it's just part of the reason we're at where we were at is that doesn't help. You know, when you got – just like the Dolphins had to go do the same thing with Tariq Hill. You know, it doesn't help your business model for trying to get competitive athletes under the cap to help your football team on both sides of the football. Julio, by the way, he's got the same amount of touchdowns as Plaxico Burress. He's got the same amount of touchdowns as Santana Moss. Derek Mason, Keenan Allen, 66. But he's got one more than Michael Irvin. Obviously, Michael Irvin, that resume speaks for itself. Where it does get interesting, though, when you said first ballot Hall of Famer, Julio is 16th in receiving yards. He's ahead of Torrey Holt, Andre Reed, Steve Largent. But the 66 touchdowns puts him in the middle of the pack. So, I mean, you could argue that maybe he's going to be a second-year Hall of Famer. There could be some writers, you know how wacky these guys are, the gatekeepers, who might say not, maybe he needed more touchdowns to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know. I've always felt he was a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Some guys say it doesn't matter. Just a little more prestigious to go in with the first class.
Yeah, no.
That you're nominated for.
Once you have your bust in...
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order is backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And Mike, I mean, obviously it doesn't matter. It is more prestigious. It does mean more money for them after their playing career to say first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
I have always gone by a certain criteria of just simply saying, was he the best player at his position at any point in his prime? The answer is yes. And if he was, and if you could say, hey, there was about a 3 to 5 year period where we talked a lot about Julio Jones. He had impact plays. His team was relevant. They went to the playoffs. He affected winning. Okay, then that's the discussion for me. The numbers, thank you, are a completely different deal when you get into the metrics of how these nerds, and we talk about it, these guys nerds. Start saying, hey, he compares here and there. Because, Mike, we say this. There are guys that are not in the hall that we think should be in the hall, but they're being kept out because of what the perception is.
And this goes back to what I said. You know, thank you, Baby Billy. But that's the thing, Uncle Baby Billy. We have, in Julio, if a guy was in New York or Chicago, you got to play the game up there. Mm. Right? You got to... With the media, because these guys are the ultimate gatekeepers. Julio, I'd be curious how that would have played. Doesn't matter. The numbers speak for itself, right? We talked about it. 16th in receiving yards. He's got the same amount of touchdowns as Michael Irvin. That would be, I think, for most people, Carl, first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Like, Michael Irvin, as good as we're talking about him being, part of that allure is he was a Cowboy. They won Super Bowls. Right. Julio didn't win Super Bowls. He wasn't a Cowboy. Like, that goes a long way when you start talking about these things, right, even though the numbers match up.
Also, different time. I think people kind of forget that Jerry Rice could have played in any era, and Michael was a big physical receiver, but the throwing game, the Cowboys had Evan Smith. Michael was going to have a finite amount of receptions a game because that was a balanced attack. They're going to run the football. So they had Jason Witten, they had Alvin Harper, but obviously Michael was the lead dog in the receiving corps. But the game was still more balanced. As we get into where Julio's era is, it's much more pass-centric.
All right, what do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Congratulations, first and foremost, on an amazing career. Did we as a show have our issues with Julio? Yeah, because it's about the team. And there were times at the end where I thought he hurt the team. I thought he hurt by being selfish and trying to gain as much money as he wanted at the end where it hurt the team. But Julio was a hell of a player, and I cannot debate with anybody the impact he had. And if you don't believe me, go ask Matt Ryan what he meant.
And the other thing with Julio is I never felt like Julio wasn't given max effort. We used to argue with some of the audience, why isn't Julio a three-down receiver? Mm. Well, not everybody is a three-down receiver. And the fact – I always felt like there was a degree of Julio that reminded me of Ken Griffey Jr., that he was the guy that moved the chains, made those tough catches in the middle, all over the field. The only thing that I had a problem with Julio, and this is the argument of the chicken and the egg, why he and Matt Ryan could not have connected for more touchdowns than they did, why he only has 60, you know, 66 is a hell of a number, but why he didn't have 80 touchdowns with all the physical skills and Matt Ryan. They just never were good enough in the red zone, but you can't put that on Julio.
No.
He can't throw the ball to himself.
Even though we sometimes hoped he would. Hey, man, we're coming back. One workout got canceled over the weekend, and it had everybody going, oh, we now know what they're going to do in this draft. It is a big story, and it may lay the foundation for what's going to happen at the top of this draft. We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. It's funny. Sometimes conversations cross over into the break. Gordon is our on-site engineer today. We love G-Money because he's been doing this a long time. He's from, born and raised, and from the Atlanta. If you see him out with us, he's always repping the A in some way, shape, or form, specifically College Park.
Yeah.
But we got off the air, and we were talking about Julio Jones, if you're just joining us, who retired on Friday. And, you know, whether you think he's a Hall of Famer or not, we were just talking about the connection to the city. And you know, I said this to Gordon before we went to break or before we actually started talking about this. There's a reason why we defend Dominique so adamantly. And for those who don't know or you weren't around when he played here, Dominique was ingrained into this community. He had a club. He did things in the community. People saw him out. He was embraced. And then he played his ass off for us, even though he didn't, you know, wasn't able to win a championship. And so, Mike, there's a reason why people like, man, ain't Dominique. There's a reason why people say that from Atlanta. And they watched him play like that. Julio had a great playing career, and we were just saying that whatever that connection was, and it doesn't take away from his career on the field,
right.
I just don't feel like it was there. And so we've been discussing that, and I know that people have been hitting us up on the text line as well.
Look, as we said, I mean, it's a conversation where some guys have a hard time wrapping their head around what we're talking about. There is purely the athlete by the numbers, by every metric for the Hall of Fame. Now, again, we don't know how these guys go. The gatekeepers are always kind of hard to read what the motivation is. Or did you play the media game enough where you kissing the butt, you know, to get that first ballot? But, yeah, I mean, he's either first ballot or he's second ballot. I would think he's first ballot. He did deal with some injuries. We were just talking about your connection as a fan. Not just me as a fan of Falcons. I love Roddy White. Roddy White, I love. I mean, I know Roddy White. I mean, even though, you know, you don't know him personally, you think you know the dude because he's just a guy that always had the intensity, brought the effort. It's, and Julio did too. But Roddy has had a more dynamic personality.
Yes.
You know, and that's all it is.
Yeah. I also thought Roddy was more in the community.
Yeah. Like, Nimrodi was
like, there's.
I mean, but some guys say, "Would you keep it score? How many events he did?"
No. It's just, not about that. Some of this stuff for you guys who don't know is sanctioned by the football team. Okay,
right.
This ain't them going out and saying, "Hey, I'm gonna get book bags for the kids," and we're about to go. Speaking of College Park, we're about to go to College Park, and we're gonna do something for the kids in the community.
Right.
We're not talking about something where the team's like, "Yo, you need to be there Tuesday night." That's
right.
Different. I'm talking about ingratiating yourself, in a way that people go, "Man, that guy is giving back in a way that we either connect with or we haven't seen." There's a different deal, Mike, with that. So that's all. I mean, does it make him a bad guy? No, because there are a lot of guys like that. But there's also a lot of guys who do those things when they're stars on their particular teams in whatever city they're in. That's why I said this to you.
Right.
Houston loves J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt has done a lot for the city. It goes beyond him being the 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. He made himself a part of the community. There are guys all around the country who do this kind of stuff. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know if I've got that from Julio, but what I did get was his best on Sundays, and that's fine.
I'm just – it's funny. I Googled, just as we said, now we're getting into Julio Jones and the philanthropy and the different things he's involved in. We talked about, you used to do those flag football games with the Migos and Quavo and those guys. As we said, we don't make this for keeping score, because that's what it degenerates to in somebody out there listening. When Matt gives, $500,000.
It matters.
After 2020 to help,
it matters.
Help the city heal and get things going in the inner city. That's cool. But not everybody's going to do it, and that's fine. That's your prerogative. You can do it with words and deeds. You can do it with action. Sometimes you can actually just cut the check. But we're just talking about how do you connect. And here's the thing. The older I've gotten, the less connections I have with the athletes. Maybe I'm jaded because we cover some of these guys.
Yeah.
But there are some dudes. Kirk Cousins. Wow, Kirk Cousins. Look at this guy. He's engaged, and he's a phony. Kirk Cousins is a fraud. He's just telling you what you want to hear. He's a guy who plays the game. You know what he is? He's like Dorn in Major League.
Kirk
or
is a jerk.
Kirk or
is
the,
a jerk.
Or what was it? Remember the character in Tin Cup that Don Johnson played?
Oh, yeah.
It was a Phil Mickelson guy, but he's a total phony.
He was.
That's what Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah.
It's all an act.
What a good movie Tin Cup was, by the way. You guys can chime in. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. And some people, this is funny, because he will represent an Atlanta Falcons uniform, which represents us. And that's great. And going into the Hall, again, brings more recognition to our team. We've said it. There are guys that played with this franchise, Mike. We've talked about it time and time again, that should have gotten that kind of recognition that are not and have not. And so for us to say, hey, Julio, he's going to put a Falcons uniform on and go in the Hall, that's great. But there's a lot of layers to this. When
right.
you start talking about what a guy means to a particular team and that city.
By the way, Andre Rison has 18 more touchdowns than Julio Jones.
Rison was a dog, man. He was a dog.
Is that for crazy? We just had Jerry Glanville on the show. By the way, a lot of guys, that's what I got a lot of feedback on Friday at the ball game. A lot of older guys getting a kick out of Glanville, man. I said, man,
he's great.
Yeah, he's got a million stories, man. He's a likable dude. At the end of the day, it was a different time. I think today we'd probably be killing him for being too cartoonish with all the antics.
Yeah.
It's got to be result-driven. We never had back-to-back winning seasons. But it was also the first time Atlanta was sexy.
It was.
As a football team, with the exception of the early days of Barkowski.
No, and you said it, star power. I'm always amazed, and I've asked them the same.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Question for years, Jerry Glanville, about how he managed all those egos. We had big egos on that team, and Glanville handled it, but he also had a big ego, right? And so that was he had to do that job and then still allow guys to be themselves and go out and play. But you're right, Mike, we probably would be. I'll say this. Glanville is a cooler version of Rex Ryan. Would you say that? Because Rex is also a guy that's he's boisterous and says crazy things. But I like Jerry Glanville way more than I do Rex Ryan.
Yeah, Rex, I don't know, man. Rex just – with Jerry, I mean, you felt like it was coming from a more genuine spot where Rex, everything's kind of convoluted and for effect. And just even this most recently, thinking he actually – his ego was big enough, he actually thought he had a shot at the Jets job, you know, after bloviating on TV for 6 years. So, yeah, I'm with you there. And it was funny with him. It was kind of like – remember, you got to go all the way back to the Darrell Revis contract negotiations on Hard Knocks and how everything Rex does is sort of like, where's the camera? Where am I at? You know. So, I don't know. Somebody say the same about Jerry, but I don't know. It was a different time.
Different time. All right, let's talk about real quick what's going on and what happened over the weekend. The Titans canceled workouts with Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. And Friday was Colorado's pro day. They called it the showcase. Shedeur threw the ball well. We mentioned it and talked a little bit about it Friday when we were over at Murph's for the home opener. But what a lot of people are believing, Mike, is that this immediately turns attention to Cam Ward being the number one overall pick. Titans did go to their pro day. But they also had a private workout with Cam Ward, which they did not have with Shedeur Sanders now. And apparently it was mutual. You know, they're trying to be respectful. Yeah, I mean, Shedeur and Travis, we're not going to have a private workout. So what that tells us, or at least a lot of people believe, is they are all in on Cam Ward. They're not picking Travis Hunter, number one. We're talking about the Titans. They're not taking Shedeur Sanders, number one. And then that means the Browns are looking at potentially Travis Hunter at number two. Why the Browns come off Abdul Carter, which is what we kind of thought was going to happen.
Miles Garrett and Abdul Carter opposite each other as the ultimate bookends getting after the quarterback.
But it sounds like, and again, this was just kind of setting the baseline here, Browns looking at Travis Hunter. So let's just say that happens. 1-2, Giants pick third. Now you're telling me the Giants can go Abdul Carter or
Travis Hunter.
Or Shedeur Sanders?
Oh, Shedeur Sanders, I should say, yeah.
I mean, because if Travis goes to the Browns, Mike.
I don't know. And then there's these mock drafts, and I know you were railing against this last week, saying what the hell did this guy not do in college to get this disrespect? But now there's even mock drafts where Shedeur Sanders falls to the Saints.
Oh, I know. 9-10, right? It's crazy. Right.
So I don't know about that, but I do know that someone's going to move up for Jackson Dart. There's going to be some team's going to come back up into the first round to do something maybe a little silly as a reach. But it's not as bad a year as it was for Kenny Pickett, was the only quarterback taken. But there's just so many guys that are so lukewarm to Shedeur Sanders, and I don't get it. I think if there's things with the mechanics you can fix, the same argument was made against Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming.
Yeah, I agree. 404-726-0929. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw hanging out. National title game tonight. Connor Riley's going to stop by to talk some dogs coming up here at 4 o'clock.
I guess it was Chris Sims was making these comments.
About?
About Shedeur Sanders. He said patting the football is not a big deal. Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk basically saying he's looked at hours of video of Shador Sanders and says anything you want as far as, you know, getting the ball out on schedule, that could be corrected. You know, but he thinks it was a lot of this was a byproduct of having a terrible offensive line and not having all the playmakers you needed.
That's what I've been saying. The kid threw for 4,000 yards and 37 touchdowns. Part of it was he was running for his life. He was sacked more than any other quarterback, specifically when you start comparing him to these top guys. Cam Ward didn't get sacked almost damn near 50 times. Neither did Will Howard at Ohio State. I think that's – and no run game. No consistent run game.
And, again, some of the great ball patterns of all time. You know, Burp the Baby, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, John Elway.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes does it presently.
You're talking about patting the ball?
Yeah, patting the football, man. I mean, just as long as you get the results. But it just seems like you guys that don't like Shador Sanders are coming up with a way to talk themselves out of it. Who knows? Unless, as we said – all this is a bunch of nonsense, and then it's going to be chalk on draft night where it goes Cam Ward.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
And then Shador Sanders goes to the Browns. And then, by the way, we have no market for Kirk Cousins unless you think the Steelers are interested and unless they want to start their quarterback.
We need, listen, if they're going to draft. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to Steelers. We need the Browns to pick somebody else.
Right. You need the Browns to go non-quarterback and or Aaron Rodgers to go to Minnesota. Yeah. Otherwise, we are stuck with Kirk Cousins and probably just having to eat it.
Yeah. I was like, man, this dude, he's legit.
He is.
He was legit, Bijan.
Okay, he was.
For a minute.
Hey, man. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Big O back in the studio will handle all of that for us as we're live here at Twin Peaks. We got a lot more to dive into, more on the championship game tonight as well as Houston takes on Florida. Is the SEC going to raise the trophy?
But by the way, oh, they left. I want to give them a shout out. Well, they're in the car right now. Ishmael and his lovely wife, he won the Post Malone tickets from us last week.
Post Malone's playing Mercedes-Benz, right?
So I went to him. I said, Ish, you taking your wife? Because Kendra's his wife. They're both school teachers.
Yeah.
And she goes, he better be. So anyway, and the mom apparently is a big fan as well. But anyway, thanks to Ish for stopping by. Twin Peaks, get us off.
Yeah, he came over and said hello. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Appreciate it. And God bless you teachers. All right, we're coming back. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Mike, I was talking about, it's Bruno Mars. I was talking about this weekend that I went to a place called Pinky Ring. I think it's in, when we were out there, I think it's in Bellagio, if I remember correctly. Okay. It's Bruno Mars's little lounge.
Nice.
So a buddy of mine that's out there now, he was like, yeah, I remember you told me you went out here. And he said, so we went last night, and Bruno was there. Because I think his band plays there. It's a
which is what that, you want to see if you go in there. That's
well,
pretty cool.
He just randomly shows up. And that's to your point. Like, you know, some of these places, it has the name of the entertainer, but you never see him, right? It's like, oh, but his band that goes on tour with him plays at this lounge. And it was really cool. They play live music, 80s, 90s, like, you know, hit stuff. And then they play extended, but it's, dude, they play like Earth, Wind, and Fire. We were there, and it was like,
nice.
I mean, like the 20-minute version of Earth, Wind, and Fire. You're like, whoa. But my buddy says last night, he said, we went, and they were like, y'all ready for a special guest? And they're like, hey. And then they were like, Bruno. And Bruno comes out, and he does a cover of Marvin Gaye.
Nice.
And he said every woman in the place was like,
losing their mind.
Oh, yeah. And so that just made me think about
but that's
it.
That's the dude, you know, we talk about, you know, entertainers. You know, there's singers and there's people that can – but a true entertainer, a guy can do everything.
He can sing, dance,
the whole shebang.
I agree, brother.
Dude, that'd be fun to – that would be a great night to roll in and you get that.
You get that. And by the way, yeah, I mean like
that's – because that goes back to the old days, you know, that my grandparents talked to me, which of course I never got to experience, when you would be – at the Desert Inn or the Sands, and Sinatra
would show up
at 2 in the morning with Dean Martin and the Rat Pack and Sammy Davis. I'll imagine that.
Incredible.
Giddy up.
I'm with you. All right. That just made me think about it, that song. By the way, Big O's back at the studio. Coming up, Connor Riley's going to join us to talk about the Dogs. They had their second scrimmage over the weekend. What did we learn? Baseball is back as far as the Dogs as well. And, you know, this tournament. Listen, it was nice to see the Dogs get in, but we said it. They were I thought they were flat in that first round. Man, I want to see
them. They were flat.
They were. I want to see them get. Can the Dogs ever do what Florida's doing?
Well, I mean, you're going to have
basketball.
You're going to have to start from scratch a little bit. Now, they are getting some big transfers in. We talked about it last week. Mike White's getting some big names coming in. Got the best, one of the best players in the ACC coming over from Cal. You do have Neek's son. I'm not sure at what level he's going to be, but those who follow college recruiting think he's going to be pretty good. But you hate to lose a guy like AC Newell. That's why you'd love to have AC Newell develop, stick around for another year. Not likely to happen.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, look.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Florida coach is good.
They won back-to-back, Mike, in what, 06, 07, whatever it was when
Billy, with Billy Donovan.
Yes. Yeah. Now they're back playing for another national championship. I'm just saying, can Georgia basketball get to that point?
There's been a commitment there, you know, at Florida, too, for the basketball program.
Okay.
You know, so this, and that's part of the reason why they're ready to move on from Mike White, because he was living up to their standard. If we're honest.
Okay. All right. You know what? Next time we get Josh on, AD at Georgia.
Right.
We got to ask him about
question.
This. We got to ask him about this. Because Josh has done an amazing job. He really has.
But he gets marketing. He gets also passing the hat and getting people to get committed to sending the loot. But what is a realistic expectation? See, when you see it, we're cutting into orange time, but Alabama, Auburn, all these schools, Florida that are there, half the SEC is legit. So why can't Georgia get up to that same level?
All right, we'll talk to Connor Riley about that. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle is off today. Our man Big O is back at the studio hanging out. Big weekend for you, sir, huh?
Yeah, you could say that. did the most adult, well, let's say the second most adult thing. Having a kid was pretty adult.
That's true.
True.
The second most adult thing I think I've done in my life. Wifey and I went to a law office today and decided to sign some papers, and those papers involved us closing on our first house.
Congratulations,
hey!
Big O.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Welcome to the fellowship of the miserable. Yeah. I mean, welcome. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
So
I'm so happy for you. Your life's over. It's so good that you guys were able to do this.
By the way, some of these forms.
Property tax.
Oh, God, yeah. Looking at, all right, by the way, this is how it all breaks down for you guys here. So this is what you're going to be paying every month, and then you're going to be paying this every month. And then they had the sheet where it broke down. And it's like, 360 payments, you guys going to have the house. And I'm like, excuse me, 360 payments? He's like, 360 and the house will be yours.
So I told 30-year fixed mortgage,
yeah,
by the way?
30-year. 30-year fixed.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
good.
At least you're not in Cali where they have 60-year mortgages. Go ahead.
Oh, God, no. I'd be paying that house off and as a, rotten the ground there. That wouldn't be good. No. Yeah. And then also, too, when you find these papers, the amount of paperwork you have to sign is insane. But it's the type of paperwork. It's like, hey, here is foreclosure stuff. All right, cool. All right, and I want you to sign this that says, I just told you what foreclosure stuff was. All right, I want you to sign this. I just said you signed the sheet that said you understood that I told you what foreclosure says. So it's just like one sheet that tells you stuff, and then everything else is like we told you, sign it that we told you what we told you.
You get carpal tunnel doing that. Now, do they have a touch screen?
No, this was all old school. Blue ink pens.
Yeah. When I bought a car at Rick Hendrick a couple years ago, everything was touchscreen. The touchscreen table. It's pretty tight.
It is tight.
It's pretty neat. So you're not just like, dot, dot. making that swirl with your finger.
It makes it easy, right? Because you can just go, whoop, whoop.
And then they give you the Bible, or so now you have that book under your arm. But congratulations. No, dude, I'm so happy for you. For those who listen to the show over the years, they've been thinking about it and looking for it, and now they finally found their dream home.
Yeah,
that's great,
absolutely.
Man. Was the seller there, or was it just strictly you guys?
The sellers were there, and my wife, who's a teacher, the sellers that were the selling the house, the wife was also a teacher. And so my mom also
nice connection.
So they had a nice connection, a great conversation. She's in the former county that my wife is in right now, so they talked about that and teaching, and they hit it off really, really well. And then even more so, Alfred, they were like, hey, here is a list of all the vendors that we use. We use this for this, this for this.
Right.
You want to get gas, this is the best place to go for, if you wanted, the gas people, this is the best place to go for the electricity. So they were super helpful, super convenient. So it was better. I'm not going to tell anybody how to buy a house. Everybody has their own preference, their own way they want to do it. But there was a level of comfort that we had with actually buying from a previous buyer that made things in the whole process go a whole lot smoother. So,
Congrats, man. No, it's great. And you're in a – I don't want to put your business out there, but you're in a good area. You guys feel good about it and not far from the station, right?
A little bit. A little bit further than I was before, but it's got a big old yard.
Moving on up.
Got a room I can put my TV and all my going to be nerdy here, all my video game consoles. So that's going to be fun right there. Yeah.
How many video game consoles do you own? What's the deal?
I have more than 10.
10? You have more than 10 consoles?
10?
I have 5.
What do you have?
I have a PlayStation, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5.
And you still have games for those consoles?
OG Xbox, Xbox 360, the new Xbox. PlayStation Mini, Super Nintendo Mini, Nintendo Mini, Nintendo 64.
Okay, you need a room for that.
Yeah, you need a room for that.
You need a room for
funny. You and I, we've talked about this with Oren. I have not, for years, when I lived in Buckhead, I had the big screen, and I would play the Tiger Woods. I mean, literally all the time, MLB. My kid brother and I would play, had the headset. and he'd be up in New York and be playing back and forth. And I just got so addictive, and I just like, man, your life's like South Park made fun of like how you're fat, you're eating Cheetos, and you're
how do you
greasy,
kill that which has no life?
Yeah, exactly. You got to get out in the real world. So I have not gone back to it. That's why I've been, you know, I haven't touched PlayStation since the Mike Vick on the cover of 2004.
Look, I'm a gamer. I don't spend the time that I once did. But when I do, to your point, Mike, I get on there. You can easily lose 2 hours. Oh, 3 hours. Like, seriously. Right. Like, depending on what your game is and how you – and next thing you know, to Mike's point, you look up and you're like, dude, I sat here at 1. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, it's gone. And listen, there are times – we all need downtime and, like, you know, relax your brain. And that's kind of what I use it for every now and then. But then I get caught up – and this is me. Oh, and I don't know what your games are, but, like, the sports games. Like NBA 2K, right? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna play NBA 2K. I'm going to play a season. Right. And you play two games, and you're like, oh, I'm 2-0. Maybe I can go 82-0 on the season.
Next thing
you know, you play six games, and you're like, in the season. I mean, it just feeds itself.
Or the offseason comes around, too, now, and those games are so, like, detailed-oriented that, like,
realistic.
Oh, I'm the GM now. I can go and start evaluating players in this video game, you know, this pre-draft process thing now. Start doing scouting reports. The next thing you know, it's two weeks later, and you haven't moved.
The GM mode thing is scary.
It is.
That's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. I'll tell you this. And I'll let you finish. Oh, I got this is a few years ago. I got Call of Duty for like Christmas. You know, they come out with the different versions.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And Michelle walked in on me downstairs. I had the goggles on. And I'm screaming, get him in the corner. Get him. And literally, she stopped the game. She says, this has gone too far.
You need to step
this
away, Carl.
This has gone too far. Dude, I was so immersed in this damn game. So I was like, all right, you're right. I got to chill. But, yeah, man, I didn't know you had that many consoles. But congratulations on the house. What else
you
got working?
Thank you. Let's do this real quick here. Keep it local here. Dyson Daniels, guys, is now a 1,400 favorite, minus 1,400 to win most improved player of the year. Not defensive player of the year, but most improved player. And last time he was asked about that, because a bit of a controversy about that, Dyson and talking about the most improved player award – it kind of says it in the name, who improves the most. If there's an award that I probably think that I deserve the most, it might be that one. So, yeah, man, no, man. Dyson Daniels may be being the most improved player of the year in the NBA this season.
Well, it's funny because it's hard to know what he was in New Orleans. Certainly we did not know what he was because he didn't get the minutes. What was he averaging? Less than 18, right?
Yes. Up there.
So when we got here.
And he wasn't scoring.
No, in the first interview we did with him, because I'm just happy I'm getting these, you know, these opportunities. And you see how important he is. Again, if we had Jalen Johnson, completely different animal. I don't know if DeAndre would still be here or not. But he's a guy that on any other team would be a glue guy. You know, one of those guys that every championship team has to have. And hopefully someday when we're competing for a championship, he'll be that guy.
Yeah, I think he wins that award. Unfortunately, as we've had this discussion, and Mike Conte talked about it with us a couple of weeks ago, and seeing Dyson up close and personal all year, he's deserving of the Defensive Player of the Year award. I don't think he's going to get it. And it has more to do with the visibility of the Hawks and how people feel around the country. It's not us. We see this guy every other night. It's how people feel around the country. So I throw out this amazing stat and go, look at – he set the franchise record for steals this year. Look at where he compares to some of the all-time greats in a season and what he's done and how his steals and defense and blocks have affected the Hawks. And people go, yeah, but they're in the play-in.
Right.
That is why I don't think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but I think he's deserving of both of these awards.
You do have to be on a really good team. It certainly doesn't hurt, man, unless you're on the Spurs.
No, that's true. That's true.
They just seem to always get the juice.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, gentlemen, let's go ahead and get up on out of here.
A lot of Duke fans, we had a conversation about an hour and a half ago. We were talking about the Final Four, and Duke fans are still in their bag about that they thought a ticky-tack penalty, foul call, I should say, on Cooper Flag.
Over
the top?
Yep, over the back.
You felt that way?
No, I thought it was a good call.
And Juwan Roberts made his free. It's one thing you foul the guy, he's got to make his free throws.
And he did.
I just thought, with all the crap that Duke's gotten away with, including Christian Leiter stepping on somebody's chest.
Come on.
If we want to get into all the calls that Duke's gotten over the last 30 years, cry me a friggin' river on that one. Right?
Mike, I'm with you on this. And you guys had a 14-point lead.
And you went 5 minutes without scoring. You had your chance.
And you blew it. Coming up, Connor Riley from Dog Nation is going to join us. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Come on through.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.